¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Oh, yeah. Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and joined by Nico Gutierrez and Hector Reyes. Primos, how we doing? ¿Cómo estamos?
We're good, man. I made playoffs, so I'm far better than I was last episode where I was contemplating defeat. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. But luckily, I was able to experience the thrill of victory and not the agony of defeat. So I'm feeling good.
Of defeat. No, I'm just kidding. my feet are killing me.
But I'm bum.
Well, you know, the regulars on the show, we're 3-4. So you guys are in the playoffs. Ricky's in the playoffs. And
Jorge?
I am outside looking into the candy store.
No, you're like Ralphie looking at the Red Ryder BB gun in the window of the toy store.
Shoot your eye out.
Look at that.
And I was just
try out.
Yeah, and I'm looking at my. I'm torturing myself. I've got
Zeke,
three,
man. Zeke.
But I've got three losses that were by less than like four points or less.
Hey, I'm right there with you. Almost missed the playoffs by 0.2 points.
So we had the crazy dog pile at the end. Sunday, mm-hmm. You looked defeated. What happened, heck?
As we say in our league, the fantasy gods were smiling upon me. So I was playing against Rick. I thought for sure that I was going to lose. And somehow, some way, the fantasy gods threw a bomb on him. And some of his players didn't do so hot. He had, let's take a look here. He had Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, who has been on a tear lately. 1.4.
Ooh, nada. He did nothing.
He has his Debo Samuel went for 7. And then Baltimore defense, who generally sound scary, and you know, going up against the Dallas Cowboys, the lowly Cowboys, you would have thought that they would, go bananas and then throw up some big points. And no, they gave up 17 points, and they had 1 sack and 1 pick, and they put up 7.5. So I ended up beating Rick by 6 points. So I'm very thrilled. Oh, and also. Kyler Murray only went for 18, which is generally good, but he's been top 3 quarterback, top 5 quarterback for the majority of the year here. So I was expecting at least 20 points from Kyler, so that didn't happen. So I'm thrilled. You know, again, I have to give my hats off to Mr. Derek Carr over there for the Raiders. For without his 35 points, I wouldn't have made the playoffs. So thank you, Mr. Carr.
Yeah, the Raiders, what a game. That long, you know. Those guys are throwing bombs everywhere, and it's just like crazy.
That was awesome,
Nico. Fantastic. You made it. What was your path to victory?
Well, it's funny because I had to win both weeks in order to get in. And of course, 2 weeks ago, I was playing first place, which was Ricky. So I destroyed him, and then I had to play the next week. Joselito goes up to first. I had to play Joselito. I'm like, man, this is just a tough road. So I beat Joselito, and so now a lot of the top guys lost. So we have 1-4 is 8-5, and I think, was it 5-8 is, you know, what is it, 7-6? So one game.
Yeah, like you said, like they said, the dog pile. Yeah, 8-5 is top 4. Then 7-6 is the next 4. And only 2 of those made it on points, and that was me and Rick. He had 1,400 points. I had 1,300 points. So after that was Raw with 1,250 and then Adan with 1,124. So points count, man. Get your points.
Yeah, because one game separated first through eighth place as far as losses. Yeah. That's just crazy.
Exactly. 8-5 and 7-6 was first through 8. That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, in our league, if you ain't first, you're 5th, right? Because I got first.
If you're in first, you're 9th.
Exactly. If you ain't first, you're 9th. Something like that. Exactly. Yeah. This is probably the craziest year. I don't ever remember it being like this where, you know, the first place was one game off of 8th. That's crazy. First and 8th place were 1 game difference. That's nuts. That's probably never happened before. But in the COVID year, expect the unexpected, as they say.
Right. Yeah. And this is where I pull my Brett Favre and I say, this is my last year.
And then we'll see. One more year. Yeah, I had I looked and I had four losses by less than 6 points. So and I had guys on my bench that were easily swappable for somebody that.
Here's my suggestion, George. This was my epiphany kind of like this year. You know, we've been doing this podcast now. We're at 107 episodes or so, right? This year, I've never done less research after the fact. Like, I did tons and tons of research, like, for the draft. But, you know, as we're doing these podcasts and we just kind of, like, you know, give our spiel and say what we're going to say during the podcast, I haven't even really been online or really done any research. I kind of just knowing that I've already, you know, we've done these shows and we talk so much about the games and the previews and such. I just go with my gut. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just say, you know what? We've talked about it. Here's what I know. And here's what my intuition is saying. I'm not going to listen to any other experts. I'm just going to go with what I'm feeling. And that's what I did. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think, and you may want to go, you know, hindsight being 2020, you may want to go back and say, well, how many times did your gut tell you to make a move? But some talking head on some podcast said something and made you flip, like, oh man, I think that guy's onto something. And then it was wrong.
Well, consider the fact that we're the talking heads on the podcast. So,
I'm just saying,
people make the choices.
No. I'm just saying your own intuition as a podcaster yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I totally went. It's funny. This league, I couldn't. I had so many heartbreaking corazón rotos.
Yeah.
And in my Dodger league, which is another one, that's a team that started 0-5 and finished the season 8-5 and led the league in points. So it's just like, I'd like to think that I'm putting the same amount of thought process into each one and same expert analysis. And it's just, it's funny. So,
yeah, man.
But, you know, I get to be on the outside looking in and playing this week. I'm playing Tony for the shot to win the first pick. But you guys, you guys got the big matchups. Nico, Ricky's so scared of you, he couldn't be here tonight. So
He ran for the hills.
Yeah, I think last time he only got 41 points. Like I tried to pick all my worst players and I still would have beat him. It's just like, wow.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Now are you thinking anything crazy on your lineup? You've got a couple of pseudo experts who will give you wrong advice if you go the other way, you go the wrong way.
Well, I'm not playing against you, Nico, so I will wholeheartedly give you my best possible advice.
Well, I mean, I have Hines, which could go 20 because they have the projections. And then they have the inside projections, the what they think is going to be the experts inside. And Hines is scheduled for 9, but they're saying no. They think he's going to get 21. And I'm projected like -9 points, so I think I have to kind of go for the wild card. Like Hines is a backup running back, but you know, do I play him or do I play my tight end? You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know,
Green Bay's defense is tough. I don't know if I'd play Hawkinson, Mike Williams.
Mike Atlanta, Williams against Atlanta.
That's a good pick. I would probably play Mike Williams if I was you.
That's what I'd play Williams over Nyheim Hines.
Really?
Jonathan Taylor started to take over the lead caballo role.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you heard it here live. The talking heads are going to give bad advice.
So here's where I'm at. So you guys tell me this one. My coin toss in my league, or my game against Jesse, is Derek Carr versus Daniel Jones. Now, Daniel Jones was just upgraded today from out to questionable. He had limited practice. He had a couple weeks off by now. But he should be ready to rock against the middle of the road Arizona defense. Whereas Derek Carr is playing against the Colts, which has been a super defense over the last couple weeks. And I'm very terrified of them. So I would definitely rather play Jones if he's healthy. What do you guys think?
I'm scared.
The thing is, I don't know if I trust Daniel Jones to be healthy.
Right. That's the thing. But and then the other thing that I was just looking at was Vegas, because Vegas always knows what Vegas knows. They only have the Colts as a 3-point favorite and an over under at 51. So Vegas is anticipating the Raiders to go bananas this game. Like, what am I missing? What am I missing here?
Well, there's the Raiders that beat the Chiefs, so they're always hiding in
the And last week, last week's Derek Carr four touchdown Raiders. And then there's the Indianapolis Colts, who may give us the negative 4 points Derek Carr Raiders. So that's a tough one, man. That's the one I'm struggling with a little bit. So that one's to be seen.
I would have picked. I would have looked to pick somebody up on the
waivers.
The waivers.
There was nobody. Week. There was nobody, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hey, I'll trade you. No, you can't do that.
The rest of the lineup, assuming Clyde Edwards-Helaire actually gets a.
He was just upgraded from questionable to healthy, so he's in the lineup. Miami defense is tough, so that's the only thing that I'm a little bit concerned with. But you know.
Nico, get us into our kick us off with the bets.
Oh well, sell your car, sell your mortgage, get ready for some guaranteed games. So, well, I didn't do that good last week, but it was kind of crazy. Week 12 through 15 is always like, you don't know what's going to happen. Good time to do long shots, bet the money line. But this week, I liked Indy. Indy is one of the, you know, again, like Hector said, it's like, how can that even be? Only 3-point in the spread. So, but I think Indy's going to come in. Indy's going to be playing the Raiders. So the Raiders, I think the Raiders are just done. I mean, they got lucky. I mean, basically they were giving up the two long throws. And so I think the Colts are going to come in and take care of this.
Yeah. The one thing about that one, about that game, Josh Jacobs is more than likely going to be out for the game. So they're going to be playing a backup running back. The Raiders are. And Indy, they kind of got a little embarrassed last week against the Titans. So the defense might be a little bit more fired up. I mean, that's a really good defense. They've been a little dinged up, especially in the secondary. So maybe if they get a little return to health, but they might cause some problems for Carr. Sorry, Heck, but
I hope not. No.
Look at keep an eye on the injury report. Carr, I mean, back to that. Carr's the play. It just, he's got more weapons, and you know, maybe this will be, and the Indy has been throwing the ball a little bit more, and the Raiders are more vulnerable to the pass than the run. Dallas, getting back to Dallas, Cincinnati, 3.5. I mean, God, both teams are so bad, but Nico, revenge game.
It is a revenge game. You know, you got returning back to Cincy, because they're playing at Cincy, correct? And I'm thinking, Dalton's kind of like, hey, you know, you let me go, whatever. So that's going to be something beautiful. And I just think I have Dallas. You know, Dallas, they're a good team if they want to be. I just think there's just too much emotion, too many politics, and just, you know, there. And Zeke could go off, but I think Cincy, you know, they've had some good games and kind of shine, but I think Dallas, in this late of the season, being America's team, will come back and uncover. So,
I mean, Cincinnati has really gone down the tube since Joe Burrow went out. Yeah, went that's down. Just so that one's been tough.
Morale's got to be low. I mean, their quarterback is, you know, just kind of okay. He hasn't really done anything spectacular last couple weeks that he's been there. So I don't really expect anything huge. And so, yeah, I can't imagine that they're any kind of, you know, fired up. I think at this point, Cincinnati, what's their record? Their season's pretty much, you know,
2-9-1.
Stick a fork in them, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about them in a minute.
Yeah. So.
Well, and both of you guys have New Orleans over Philadelphia -7, and you guys are against me on that one because I've got the.
Well, Jalen Hurts is just getting fired up. He's just, you know, he's starting his first game, right? So.
Yep.
And New Orleans defense is no joke. So going back to what we talked about with Belichick against Herbert, you know, when you have, a seasoned coach against a rookie quarterback, bad things generally happen to the rookie quarterback. So Sean Payton's gonna do some crazy things, and I think it's gonna be a long night for Mr. Hurts there.
I think it will be. I mean, my system says bet Philly in the plus 7 points. So right. The home dog.
No, his system's there. But again, the X factor mm-hmm. is that he's a rookie.
A rookie going up against a great defense. So
yeah, an experienced coach. So I'm sure Peyton's going to take a big page out of Belichick's you know scheme and say, okay, because you got to confuse the guy. And once you confuse a rookie, it's hard for him to recover. And if as long as they can do that, he's going to have a long, long night to just confuse him. Just throw crazy defensive schemes at him, which the Saints can do and will. And it's going to be tough, I think. I mean, Hurts can run, so we'll see, you know, if he can get away from there and maybe throw up some rushing yards and stuff like that. But I don't see – we've talked plenty of times about Philly's, you know, being thin at receiver. And so, you know, we shall see. But I think New Orleans covers pretty handily there.
And you mentioned Green Bay -8 against Detroit.
Yeah.
And I've like got Detroit. Why do you like Green Bay?
I mean, so Green Bay, well, last week they they did very well. Let's pull up the numbers here. Their defense has been doing very well. They threw up like 20 some points, right? For, you know, 20 some fantasy points there, the Green Bay defense did. And Stafford, and I have a little bit of insight only because he was my quarterback for the majority of the season. I dropped him late because I was just fed up with him. When Galladay's out, he sucks. Last week has to be a fluke. I'm telling you, the majority of the season, you know, Matt Stafford has just been less than mediocre. So, you know, I'm not putting any kind of faith into him, especially against a solid Green Bay defense. I think he's going to have a tough time. Green Bay is going to roll all over them. Aaron Jones is going to be the stud that he's been. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers is just Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's just, and where are they playing? Are they playing at Detroit?
At Detroit. Yes.
Oh, even worse for Detroit. I mean, you gave Aaron Rodgers a cushy field, nice dome, you know, warm confines, 75 degrees. Oh my God. Yeah, forget it. Pick Green Bay all day.
All right. All right, Primo. Oh, Nico, you didn't tell us why you like San Francisco.
Oh, well, again, we have the revenge because, you know, Alex Smith's coming back and he's kind of saying, oh, you let me go? So he's coming back from Washington to go play. I remember the beginning of a couple of podcasts, I said, you know what? I bet you Alex Smith, which was brought on as a courtesy, he's going to start and he's going to kill it. I'm not saying I'm psychic, but I am, you know?
I'll tell you right now that tomorrow I will be psychic.
That's right.
Well, right now I'm going to tell you we're going to be going into some chisme.
Chisme!
Yeah! So CMC, he looks like he's recovered from his shoulder issue, which, you know, leading off with this, it feels like we'd be teasing Ricky because he's been waiting all season.
Sorry, Rick.
Put CMC in his lineup. But he's got a quad issue now that he injured during the break. So, you know, it's questionable. Who knows? My question to my primos is he the number one pick, the 101 next draft?
Yeah. Why, you know, it's kind of like, well, as they say, you're the champion until you're not. I mean, if he's been healthy this season, no one can touch him. I mean, the games that he was healthy, the guy's a monster. He's just, and I obviously when the next season starts up, he's going to be healthy again. And you want those points, you know, CMC's points are just, he's at another level. He's at a completely other level from, you know, he's the rarefied air, you know, the Jordan rules, you know, the CMC rules. He's just different. The guy's just different. So in my opinion, he is 101 again, next draft. What do you guys think?
You go.
I think so. And he's probably going to send a Cadillac to my house because every time I pick up a running back, you know, first pick, he get hurt, they get hurt. So that way it guarantees that it's not going to be him. So, but no, I mean, it's just, he's a guaranteed. The thing is it's always a guaranteed amount. And that's what you need to be consistent because mm-hmm. these running backs where you can get 2 or maybe 30, you don't need that. You need somebody that's always going to get you 15 to 35.
His floor, probably the highest floor maybe that we've maybe ever seen in a running back. I mean, when CMC plays, yeah, like you say, it's like 15 points guaranteed. Like, where does it go from there? Like, it starts at 15 and it goes up from there. I don't ever remember any player having such a high ceiling as this guy. So that's what you want for sure.
And to me, the big thing
floor, high floor.
To me, the big thing, the reason why that I would make him the 101 is he did not need surgery. And so it's not like, you know, it's not like a major, you know, leg injury. It's sprained ankles. So it was a sprained ankle. The shoulder's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully this quad's going to be fine. So that to me, that's the big thing. And he's young. He's in his prime. And so one year of not getting hit will be good for him. So
Yep.
Let's go over the Steelers. James Conner activated from the reserve COVID-19 list. So that's good news for them because Benny Snell, I mean,
I dropped him. Unfortunately,
he played like basura.
I had a couple waiver wire advice, you know, columns and such, or you know, from whenever there's waiver wire, you always kind of look to see who to scoop up, and you know, it was you know, Devontae Booker and Benny Snell were like the top two running backs on most of the you know, waiver wire articles and you know, social media pages. You know, pick up Benny Snell, pick up Devontae Booker. And that's what I did. I got both of those guys and didn't quite work out for me there. So I dropped Benny Snell already. Connor's back. And there we are.
Dominic's playing some good video games.
Yeah.
There, right?
I hear him over. He's the next room over. He's doing Fortnite. So I think I might have to give him a little, let him know that I'm recording.
God love it.
I thought that was your sound effects that you had. You know, like, oh, that's great. How do you get those? It sounds so real, you know?
Yeah, he's watching the, you know, Friday the 13th again or something like that, you know? So getting back to this, Joe Mixon is already been ruled out for week 14. So there, okay. I mean, he was a possibility for coming back from IR, but the coach said that he's a possibility to play again this season. And I'm thinking, why? It's a lost season. Your quarterback's
exactly.
gone.
Exactly.
You just lost another offensive lineman. Why are you going to risk this guy who you invested money in?
No way. Yeah. Game over. It almost seems like any team, you know, and it kind of sucks to say, like any team that's their season is lost, just kind of put it on cruise control, man. You don't even need to play that hard. As hard as it sucks as it is to say, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just don't get hurt. You know, the season's over. If you're not making playoffs, you know, just, you know, rule number one, goal number one is don't get hurt. You know, stay healthy and, you know, wait for next year for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Just keep the guy healthy. You got money invested in him. You don't, it's not like you're putting butts in the seats. So
sit him down,
get him healthy, mm-hmm. get him right. Hopefully you get Joe Burrow back and get an offensive line in front of them. So let's go with that. Another guy who's questionable is, you know, Ian Rappaport from NFL Network says that Drew Brees is targeting week 15 to come back from his multiple rib injuries. So it's something where he's going to be, is he going to be ready at that point? I mean, it's funny. I think this is going to be his third game that he's missed. This will be his fourth game that mm-hmm, he misses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had a broken rib before and I'm sitting there thinking it took like 6 weeks to have that.
I'm right there with you. I cracked a rib playing basketball and man, that thing, it felt like it took like 5 months to heal. I mean, I don't even understand how these guys are doing like, oh, in like 2 weeks, I'll be back. Like what? It's a rib. Yeah, man. That's no joke. That the ribs take forever to heal. No way.
I don't see it. And it's
especially quarterback position where your ribs going to get hit again. I was playing basketball and I didn't want to play basketball just for the idea of possibly getting hit in the rib again. This guy is a quarterback. He's going to get hit multiple times. Like, oh my God, man. Like no way.
guys are going to be targeting him. So yeah. I don't see it. I mean, hopefully he's healed up. I mean, they could put extra padding there, but we're going to see. Yeah, well, last item. And this one hurts me personally because, he's one of my lead caballos on, one of my other leagues. That's, my Dodger league.
Antonio.
Oh, yeah. Antonio, mi primo Antonio Gibson.
Antonio.
They're calling it turf toe, which to me, he's out for the season.
Doesn't it sound like turf toe is just like the minorest injury that you can possibly, I mean, it's the worst injury that you can have that has the most like feather soft name. Like, oh, I have turf toe. Like, but dude, like you can't play, you can't walk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, it sounds like it's not bad, but it is turf toe.
Just, yeah. And it knocks you out at least a month.
Yeah.
And it's an area that it's an area that does not get a lot of blood to it. So it does, it takes a longer time to heal. And it's Deion Sanders once said that it was just like every step, it felt like he was getting hit with a hammer right on the toe. So it's just like, and that's just walking. He said that was just walking. Yeah. Can you imagine trying to run? So Antonio Gibson, gracias for the memories.
Hopefully, the memories.
Yeah, hopefully the other guys that I have will pick it up for you, and we'll see you in the first round next year. So, well, let's get into some previews.
Let's go, man. Ready?
Well, we got previews. So Thursday night football, New England Patriots 6-6, coming off that 45-0 victory over the Chargers, going back to SoFi Stadium at the Rams, 8-4. The Rams are 5.5-point favorites with a 45.5 over under. You know, so we talked a little bit about revenge games. Jared Goff, is this a revenge game for him? Coming back, losing the Super Bowl where he just got dominated by the New England Patriots. And it's like with the Rams, it's which quarterback's going to show up? The guy who threw for 351 last week, the guy who blew up the Buffalo, the guy who blew up the Bucks, or couldn't do anything against the Seahawks. I mean, he couldn't do anything against the Giants. And it's just like, it's who couldn't really do get much going against the 49ers. And all of a sudden now he's going to be taking on the Patriots with the ghosts of the Super Bowl, the 2019 Super Bowl. I hope he gets to exercise those demons and get a big game. I just, it's tough. It's tough to feel confident in him lately.
Yeah, I know that the Ram defense is solid, so they're definitely going to give Cam and company some trouble. What I look at, and when I look at games like this and just kind of peel back the layers of the onion a little bit, I'm looking at Coach Belichick. I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy played just, being as a head coach, played as good a game as a head coach can play, shutting out a team 45-0. In the Chargers last week. So now my question becomes is, what does Belichick do, coming this now in this time around, as an encore performance, what I'm saying? Because he had coached a brilliant game last week, and does he have Jared Goff's number? Does he know? Because if New England, kicked Jared Goff's ass in the Super Bowl, what is it that Belichick did as a coach to do that, and is there anything that he has up his sleeve, any little tricks that he knows or any tendencies that he knows that Jared Goff has that he can exploit and maybe do a little more damage, in that way, is this one of those cases of like, does he have his number? You know what I mean? So I'm just kind of worried about that or wondering about that. And, or maybe that's all moot. What do you guys think?
Well, and see, the other question is, does McVay figure everything, figure out what he did wrong? Because he took the blame on that one.
Right.
And did
Of course he's going to. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So I mean, I'd
chess
like
match. There's going to be a chess game, man. For sure. Yeah.
I'd like to think that the Rams could get their timing going and get Woods and Kupp going. The big key tomorrow is going to be Cam Akers. Because he looks like he's the lead caballo now. He got 21 of 28 total carries by the entire Rams running backs last week. And now if they could get him going, and the Patriots, they have had trouble defending the run this year. They're 15th against fantasy running backs, but definitely had some, have had some big games against them. Do they can Cam Akers get going, which that will unlock the play action game for Jared Goff? And that to me is the key for the Ram offense is Akers running and then Jared Goff with the play action. So, and on the other side of the ball, Cam Newton, the team scored 45 points and Cam Newton threw for 69 yards. I wish that was a typo that I had right there on the, on our script, but 69 yards passing. He also ran for 48 yards and two touchdowns. touchdowns, but 69 yards passing.
That's wild.
That to me is crazy. And to me, it's like there are no, Cam is not viable against the Ram defense.
No way.
Maybe Damian Harris, you play him, because right now you just, if you're going to get a running back who's going to get 16 carries like Harris did last week, you're going to give him a shot. But I don't play. I don't know if any. But
I don't see anyone on the Patriots that I would be. I mean, I don't have any of these guys anyway. But Ram defense is tough. I mean, yeah. They're solid. They're solid across the board. So I wouldn't start from a fantasy standpoint. I'm not starting anybody against the Rams. I'm not saying that the Patriots can't win. I'm just saying from a fantasy standpoint, there's not really any fantasy viable players here to speak of.
Yeah, maybe the defense. Wait, would you play the New England defense, Nicole?
It all depends on if Kupp comes through or Woods. I mean, those guys, they'll kill you.
And right.
So that's the thing. I mean, but New England's, they've always been a solid defense. I mean, 45-0. I mean, come on.
So. Right, exactly.
And against Herbert. Against Herbert.
Yeah. And they were always, I mean, last year, remember, they were the defense to have. If you were passing anyway, you wanted New England. They didn't lose that much. The offense was kind of dismantled, but the defense has always been kind of, solid. And a replacement always came in that was, not at par, but close to it,
Who's their shutdown corner? They have a shutdown corner, right, George? Who is it that they have?
Stephon Gilmore.
Exactly. Is he going to be on Kupp or Woods, do you think? Probably, I guess it could be either one, right? It'd be kind of swapping around.
He would probably more than likely be outside on Woods.
On Woods, okay.
But, in that case, it would be Kupp. Kupp would be the more desirable play this week. They've been a little dinged up in the back. And Gilmore was out for a while. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden
Sure, go ahead.
I was going to say Gilmore's back and he's been playing better. But again, it's one of those things where is one guy going to be able to open up for the other guy? Because I'm looking at the chart on Pro Football Focus. They've got Gilmore, who's going to be shadowing Robert Woods, which takes down his matchup. And Cooper Kupp's going to be on Jonathan Jones. It's going to be a much more favorable matchup. So if you're playing Daily Fantasy tomorrow, play Cooper Kupp. So we'll see. All right, let's take us to Hick. Take us to Chicago.
Chicago. All right, we got the Houston Texans favored by 1 point. They're going to be playing in a nippy 31 degrees at Chicago. Over under 44.5. Deshaun Watson, he went for 341 last week. He's starting to kind of bloom and blossom. He had a fantastic game. No touchdowns, but he did rush for 38 yards and a score. David Johnson, still kind of mediocre, 44 yards last week. Brandon Cooks, no touchdowns, but 65 yards. Kiki Coody, who saw this coming? I mean, this guy was on the waiver wire. Pick him up. He went for 141. Chicago, Mitch Trubisky, 267. And something happened at the end of the game with Trubisky? There was a fumble or did something happen last game where they kind of lost the game late? I can't remember if that was.
They lost the game late and Detroit took, got a late touchdown to win it. So.
Yeah. This one's, Houston favored by one. This is kind of a toss up game. I was looking for Allen Robinson to do a little bit more last week. He went for 75 yards, no score. I mean, Trubisky did, he did come back, after Foles was kind of, their main guy for a while. I don't know if it was rust or what, and I don't know if we'll see, Trubisky kind of, opening up a little bit more this game. Houston's defense is not so great against the quarterback. So hopefully Trubisky being a little bit more comfortable this week does a little bit more, because he can definitely score off of them. Darnell Mooney, new guy, 43 yards. He showed a little bit there, but not too much to speak of. Cole Kmet, 37 yards receiving and a score. So I don't know, man. It's going to be there's a 1 point favorite by Houston. It may go back and forth. I don't really I'm not really looking for a exciting game here. Maybe Watson, he can maybe do some things. Chicago's defending the run is kind of okay, nothing special. So Watson may be able to put up some yards rushing. If I'm Houston, I'm on the Houston side, I'm definitely starting Deshaun. I'm starting David Johnson. Kiki Coody, that may have been a fluke game. Not really sure there. Brandon Cooks, of course. on the Chicago side. I'm not starting Trubisky. David Montgomery, 2 touchdowns last week. So, yeah, you got to fire him up. That's your start of the week, right, George?
That's my start of the week, David Montgomery. Yeah. I mean, he's had 2 weeks in a row where he's been a stud. And the Houston defense, there's number 31 against fantasy running backs. So I look at that one, and they've unleashed him. He's been hot. I think he continues that role. I actually like Mitchell Trubisky, as crazy as it sounds. I don't ask me what I've been drinking, because I've only been I had a Diet Coke earlier today, but sorry, not a sponsor. But Mitchell Trubisky, I mean, that Houston defense is not good, and they just lost Bradley Roby, their top cornerback. So all of a sudden, I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to throw quite a bit on them. And the thing that I think is going to be tough, I think I like the Chicago defense this week against Houston. I don't think anybody's been as hot as Deshaun Watson, but he hasn't really done it against really good defenses. And earlier this season, when he went up against Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Kansas City defenses, he struggled against them. And Chicago is a defense that's on a par with them. So I wonder, with that playing out in the elements, you know, it's dome teams playing out in the elements, they don't usually fare as well. So that's the big thing. One sleeper that I've been touting a lot, Cole Kmet. He's got a touchdown last week. The previous week, he had he fumbled a ball at the end zone. So Mitchell Trubisky is looking for him near the goal line. So I think he's a play this week. I would play Deshaun Watson just because he's Deshaun Watson, and even in a tough game, he could give you 300 yards and 2 touchdowns.
No, for sure.
I don't know who I'm playing. I am playing Brandon Cooks on one of my leagues. Week 14 is the last week, but that's because it's a very, very deep league and I have to. So I don't have anybody to pivot to.
Yeah. So. I think these teams, and it always gets us, like, because David Montgomery, I mean, he just kind of went off a little bit, you know, last he's playing better than he had before. And Allen Robinson is questionable, so you don't know what's going to happen there. But I think this is kind of like toward the end. Everyone's got contracts coming up, so everyone wants to shine. So I think they're just going for it. You know, they're not going for playoffs. So they're just kind of there, you know. So I think it's like you're in Vegas and it's Sunday and you got these chips in your pocket. You're like, you know, I don't want to cash this in. I'm going to go play.
I want to turn the 25s into hundreds, right?
Exactly.
Turn into black chips, and then when you get the black chips, you turn them into purple ones. And
man. Fourth down and two, they're going for it. I mean, you see it all now, so everyone's just going for it. I mean, you might as well try out your players and see what they got, you know, because you've got your cardboard fans. They want to see something, you know. So
you are right about teams wanting to put the players.
The cardboard fans want to see something, man.
But Primo, you're right. It is one thing that some players try and they really put some stats up on the board this time of year to try and really just try and shine and get that next contract. So speaking of teams that are just kind of playing out the string, we got we're going to Cincy. Dallas 3-9 at Cincinnati 2-9-1. It's going to be at 41 degrees. There's no weather on the, no rain or anything else on the board. 3.5 point favorite for Dallas, and it's a 42.5 over under. I mean, watching that game with Dallas there, I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw a team that was so bad up the middle, that got burned so badly up the middle. They had like two or three runs where it looked like they just had nobody in the picture. Where Baltimore just, you know, just it was Moses parting the seas. And
I could have done a cattle drive down that middle.
And that's why it's kind of Dallas. That's why it's kind of like I look at that team, I look at this team, and I don't want to start anybody on Cincinnati. We already talked about these guys. If I were to start anybody, I might think about Giovanni Bernard. I don't, as much as I like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, if I were flipping a coin between them and somebody else on a flex, it would have to be a really bad matchup for the other player to go with them. But on the other side, Nico, you already talked about the revenge game narrative with Andy Dalton.
Yeah, and you know what? It does happen. These guys want to come back and play, and they're motivated, and they want to go, and they fire up, and everyone gets fired up, and they know they want to win for their quarterback, you know. As long as he stays on point. Once he starts to fall apart, they're like, oh, okay. But I think if Zeke can step up, Amari Cooper was catching balls. I mean, Andy threw a really crappy throw up top, and Cooper grabbed it. You know, so it
was kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Gallup had himself a game last night. You know, he had caught 7 of 11 targets for 86 yards and a touchdown. So I still think he's the number three guy in this lineup, but I have seen some points where Dalton is looking for him. 42.5 point over under. I mean, with two bad defenses, I'm going to call me a loco, but I'm taking the over on this one. I think I think both teams are going to run up some points, and I think this one's going to go over.
I think, yeah, I agree. I think Andy Dalton, I mean, understand that Andy Dalton went up against the Baltimore defense, and that's a tall order. Generally, it's a tough thing to do. And he only got sacked one time the whole game. And that's saying something. So, and he did well, 285 yards, two touchdowns. Yeah, he threw a pick, but 285 and two scores against the Baltimore defense is very good. Is excellent, you know, in my opinion. Now he's going to go from a very good Baltimore defense or a better than good, or better than average for sure, Baltimore defense. And now you're going up against Cincy, who is not good against QBs fantasy. He's not good against fantasy RBs, not good against fantasy wide receivers, not good against fantasy tight ends. I mean, I see Andy Dalton just having fun, having a field day. CeeDee Lamb almost caught that touchdown at the end of the half. I think that jump ball that went right through the guy's hands. So Andy Dalton, I think, is poised for a breakout game here. I would not be surprised if Andy Dalton doesn't go for three touchdowns here, throws for 300 yards. I could definitely see that happening.
Oh, my goodness. I'm almost talking myself into starting him as a cheap quarterback in daily fantasy. So
yeah, for sure. No, really. I can see it. He's been, I mean, on Thanksgiving Day, he played pretty good. Last night, I saw him play pretty good. I think he's, you know, this is Andy Dalton. The guy had some really good games in Cincinnati over the years, you know, with AJ Green, you know, he's capable of doing big things. So don't be surprised if he does it this game.
You know, George Hatcher did make the playoffs, you know. He, I think he knows it's going to happen.
You know. Is that a dig on George?
Yes, yes. dig away. Dámelo. Oh, man. Well, Hector, take us to Miami.
All right. So the Kansas City Chiefs are, as they say, a juggernaut. And, yeah, you know, these guys just – I mean, the Miami defense has been very good. I was checking my – Yahoo fantasy alerts, you know, as far as, you know, players availability and whatnot. And, you know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of players have dropped Miami defense this week. That's a very telling sign. You know, I don't think anyone wants to play Miami's defense against Patrick Mahomes and company anytime soon. I don't think any defense wants to play Kansas City anytime soon. You know, we talked about CMC earlier being on a different level. Kansas City is just at a different level. Yeah, they lost one weird, fluky game, which is just weird to me because they're just so damn good. I mean, they're 11-1. They're favored by 7, 49.5 point over under. This is going to get up there. Obviously, Casey's going to score the majority of those points. I just look at Casey just – they're just so good. They're like the varsity team and everyone else is like JV. You know what I mean? Like they just do things. You're starting everyone. You possibly can. You're even starting Andy Reid if you could on your on your fantasy team. Cause these Tyreek Hill, you know, these guys, you know, these guys need no introduction. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, you know, CEH didn't play. He's just been moved up from questionable to healthy. Yes, Miami's run defense has been pretty decent, so they may have a little bit of trouble there.
Are you playing CEH?
I'm playing him. He's Woo-hoo! Rested. He is rested. I'm going to play him unless I pick up someone off the waivers for COVID, and then I might not play him. But if I do, then you know, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out because I have a COVID space, like George said, so we'll see what I do there. But as it stands right now – he's in my starting lineup. Like I said, you know, you want to, as I've said before, you want a piece of that real estate. You know, and you know, any given day, anyone on the Kansas City Chiefs can blow up. Patrick Mahomes can just pick, you know, before the game, Pat Mahomes can say, you know what, you're going to score today. And it will happen. He can speak it into existence like LeVar Ball. You know what I mean? On the Miami side, Tua, you know, last week, 296 and a score. I mean, obviously the thumb is better and he's doing well. That, you know, KC's defense is not the greatest. Obviously they win games because their offense is great. Their defense is not that great. So I look for Tua to have a pretty decent game against KC. Miles Gaskin, KC's run defense is not up there very good. So I look for Gaskin to do very well. Devontae Parker, he's going to have a little bit of trouble. KC's DBs are going to be all up in his grill for the majority of the game and give him some headaches. Gesicki, I picked him up. He may have a good go at it. So I'm planning on starting him again, see how COVID goes as far as my lineup goes. But those are my picks for the game. And I'm looking for an exciting game simply because KC's playing and because Tua's playing. So I think this will be a fun game to watch.
Sounds like you're saying there's KC and the rest of the teams are sunshine there.
That's a sunshine. That's right. There's going to be some sunshine.
They are the sunshine band.
That's right.
Now, when I look at this game, I mean, Miami's defense has been very opportunistic and they've been very, you know, very turnover heavy. Patrick Mahomes does not turn the ball over. Nope. I think
KC turns the ball over, right? No one has fumbleitis, nothing like that.
And you know, Mahomes is having a very similar year, at least from a yardage standpoint, to the 2 years ago when he was the MVP. He got 50 TDs. This year he's on a pace for 41 TDs, which is still amazing. You look at it, I mean, and the thing that I look at is Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce have really been funneling having the targets funneled toward them. They are the primary targets. You had Hill with 10 targets last week, Kelce with 13 targets last week. They've both been in the double digits lately, and really nobody else has been predictable on that team. So that, from a fantasy standpoint, I think it's like you'd load up on those guys and just grab them. I do think that they are more vulnerable against the run than the pass. They're kind of like the Green Bay Packers, like that, and that they get beat up by the running game. So Gaskin could be a guy that's playable this week
for sure.
So I'm gonna take us over to New York, actually Jersey, where the New York Giants, the New York Football Giants, 5-7, host the Arizona Cardinals, 6-6. The Cardinals are 2-point favorites on the road. 45-point over under. This is an interesting game. Kyler Murray, we talked about on the Sunday night show that he is that one Hail Murray miracle throw away.
Hail Murray.
Yeah.
I love that they called it that.
I do love when they called it that. That was beautiful. I wish I could take credit for that one. So, that one game, if he doesn't make that play, they're on a 5-game losing streak. And I look at the last 3 weeks when he's been battling that shoulder injury, he's not running as much. He's the QB 18 over those 3 weeks. And I know it's a small sample size, but again, you know, it's when he's hurt. So is he not running because he doesn't want to make the shoulder injury worse? And and that definitely impacts DeAndre Hopkins, who's the wide receiver 21 over those same 3 weeks.
Wow.
He's looked mortal. So, you know,
and he's looked frustrated.
Yeah, he's looked frustrated. I mean, Ricky's got Kyler Murray. I'll talk to him on the Friday episode.
He hinted that he's not starting Kyler Murray this week. That's what he hinted, because New York's defense has just been shut down against fantasy quarterbacks.
The Giants have been great.
Yeah.
The Giants have been surprisingly great on defense in general. So yeah, especially of late, I mean, they shut down Russell Wilson last week.
Those words just came out of your mouth. They shut down Russell Wilson. Like, how does that even happen? You know what I mean? But that's real. And it's a mobile quarterback who got shut down. and, you know, who's, you know, smart cerebral quarterback who got shut down. So Kyler Murray's, you know, he's cut from the same cloth as Russell Wilson. So yeah, that's where Rick was definitely concerned.
Well, that, defenses have changed. You know, you got faster linebackers on a quarterback.
Yep.
Adjusted. I mean, it's 10 years now of, you know, running quarterbacks, and it's, you know, but now they're getting faster and faster every year. And, but, you know, they have to adjust.
Oh yeah.
I think they have.
Survive or die, adjust or die. But on the other side, on the Giants side, I think the only player I'm really starting with any kind of confidence, and as strange as it may sound, Wayne Gallman. And he got 135 yards last week, and he looks good.
Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is a possibility. If it's Colt McCoy, no gracias.
No es bueno.
But, you know, I do – you start Evan Engram because you have to, because he's breathing and he's a tight end. And but Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, unless Daniel Jones is starting, I'm just saying no. No.
Gallman's just been a stud, so you got to start him up no matter what.
Yeah. Well, heck, take us. Oh,
free agent.
Which one?
Gallman. He was out there for a long time. No one picked him up.
Yeah, man. He's on the waivers for a while. And it happens that way, man. Every year, there's those guys that just kind of float around on waivers, and then just one day someone snatches them up, and boom, they go off. So it happens every year.
Well, that was when we were on a borracho streak, so that's probably why. Hector, take us to Tampa.
Tompa. All right. So Kirk Cousins. Well, first of all, let's talk about the game itself. Tampa Bay, 6.5-point favorites. This is one of my picks. I'm picking Minnesota +6.5 to take this game. I just really, really like what Minnesota's been doing of late. I mean, Kirk Cousins has thrown, you know, he's had the reputation of being a game manager, and he, you know, throws a couple balls here and there, and, you know, dump, dink and dunk and blah, blah, blah. No, Kirk Cousins has been a beast the last three games. At least he's thrown in the last three games, he's gone over 300 yards. Last week, he went for 3 touchdowns. Dalvin Cook is Dalvin Cook. He needs no introduction. 120 yards rushing last week, 59 yards receiving last week. And then you have the up and coming Justin Jefferson, who's just really come into his own. He's already the WR7 this season. Even though the first couple weeks he really did not much of anything. Last week, 121 yards on 9 catches, 12 targets, and a score. So Justin Jefferson is he's one of those guys that next year's draft, he'll likely go, you know, first round, second at the latest for sure. Thielen is Adam Thielen. I mean, he's so think about this. Minnesota has the WR7 and the WR9, and Kirk Cousins is playing at a very high level right now. So I look for Minnesota to just really have a good game again. They're riding a high. They have momentum. There's no reason at all to think that they're not going to do the same thing against Tampa Bay. I'm firing up all those guys. On the Tampa Bay side, you got Mr. Tom Brady, who's been doing well. I mean, last week he went for 345, 3 touchdowns, did throw 2 picks against KC in that coming out game for Patrick Mahomes.
Don't piss off his mom.
I know. Minnesota, they should have a decent time against Brady. Brady will do his thing. He'll get his points, but he's not going to go off by any stretch. Minnesota's defense against fantasy QBs is pretty decent. Ronald Jones, he's kind of been up and down throughout the season. Last week, 66 yards. He did have a 37-yard touchdown catch, which, you know, it's kind of rare for him. He does most of his damage on the ground. And then, of course, you know, we've talked, you know, that, you know, the shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, as far as, you know, Tom Brady and company being like, you know, blowing out the league. Oh my God, Mike Evans, Godwin, Antonio Brown, like Gronk, how is anybody else going to even compete with these guys? We haven't seen it up to this point just yet. But man, you wonder if there's ever going to be like a blowout game where Evans and Godwin and Antonio Brown, where they all get on the board and just like blow somebody out. I don't think it's going to be this game. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens at some point before the end of the season. Because those weapons are just bananas, and I see it happening maybe one of these games where just everyone just goes nuts. But
Well, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it happen against this game? Minnesota is number 30 against wide receivers in fantasy points allowed.
They can control the clock. That's one thing they can do with Dalvin Cook. They can definitely control the clock. So that's the one thing is they're not going to give. Tampa Bay is going to have to be on their game because, you know, if they're not scoring on every possession or if they're punting or, you know, they're having some trouble getting in the end zone, they're not going to have too many opportunities because that's what one thing Minnesota does is they're good at just holding on to the ball. And they can do that with Dalvin Cook. They just run down your throat. Then when the defense is looking for run, then there's Jefferson and they're stealing. So they definitely can keep their offenses so balanced that they're going to keep the defenses off balance. Even as good as Tampa Bay's defense has been or can be, the Minnesota's offense is just so damn balanced that any defense is going to have a hard time against them.
I think the one thing, the Tampa Bay defense is great against the run. They're number two against running fantasy running backs. So that to me is
but this
the
is
big
Dalvin
X factor.
It's yeah, like the same. Like, it's like you like when a receiver can moss you. Like it doesn't matter. Yeah, he'll Randy Moss you. It doesn't matter who your what your defense is. It's like Jordan. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. Like it doesn't matter who's guarding Dalvin. It doesn't matter what team is defending Dalvin Cook. He's gonna probably rush for 100 yards. It doesn't matter. So you know, yeah, I agree with you. Tampa Bay's defense can be good against runners, but against Dalvin Cook, I don't see it.
It's a different.
He's just a monster. He's a different animal for sure.
Well, if Cook can get out, I think it's gonna that's gonna make a big difference for Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
Nico, I feel you wanted to say something.
No, I'm good. I'm enjoying the sunshine here amongst
all your brightness. with KC.
Yeah, all the sunshine in Tampa Bay.
I'm doing a little Bay. Dance, you know, make a little love. It's all good.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
The crazy thing is before we go off on this game is Gronk. He's the tight end 12 overall coming in his first year back from retirement, but from week 6 to 12, he's the tight end 2.
Whoa.
So he went 25 catches, 365 yards and 4 touchdowns. That to me is kind of like, you know, he's possibly back. Amazing as it is to say it, really amazing as it is to say
it. It took a while.
Yeah, but that's why I look at this. I look at this game. I think when that Tampa Bay got embarrassed in their last game against Kansas City, they probably felt like they should have won. And I think Tom Brady is the type of guy that is gonna just use that as a chip on his shoulder and end up just, you know, working his tail off during those 2 weeks. And other people probably, and he probably brought a lot of other people along with him. I think that's going to come out in this game, whether it becomes a shootout because Kirk Cousins is going toe to toe with him and Tampa Bay has been a little more vulnerable against the pass of late. That's going to be very telling. Weather's not going to be an issue. So that's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to close it out, close out this show with a kind of like a blah game, but I hate to say it.
Blah.
But Denver,
blah.
Yeah, Denver 4-8 at Carolina 4-8. The Panthers are 3.5-point favorites. So even Nico won't bet on them. And they're 47 point over under. So I'm going to start off one thing saying no.
No
anybody,
lock. There's no lock on this game.
No lock. If you, anybody out there outside of a 2QB league that's like 16 teams, you know, where you have to start every quarterback, even then I'm thinking about not starting Drew Lock. So he's not been good of late.
No lock on this game then.
He's not been good. So, but yeah, for normal 12, even 14 team leagues, he's sitting. The player that I really want to fire up is Melvin Gordon in this one.
Yeah, man.
You know, 131 yards, even though he's still sharing carries with Philip Lindsay. I haven't looked at his numbers on what he's worth on DraftKings.
DFS,
But it's, you know, if he's a bargain, he could be a good one because Carolina is not good against the run. They're number 24 against fantasy running backs. So I'm looking at Gordon to have himself a game. The other guys, I just don't know. I mean, Jerry Jeudy's been banged up, so I don't know if I want to.
Well, I mean, just the fact that you're poo-pooing Drew Lock, you know, yeah. and rightfully so. I wouldn't fire up anyone that he's throwing to. You know, if you're you know, if you're saying that, you know what, this quarterback's just garbage. he's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna magically make his receivers awesome. So yeah, if Drew Lock is an absolute no, you're definitely not gonna fire up any of his receivers.
Yeah, Carolina.
Unless they get the maintenance backup maintenance guy to come in and play quarterback.
Kendall Hinton. But you know, and the other thing is Carolina's number six against fantasy wide receivers. So it's just one of those
even
things
worse. Exactly. Even
you
more
just
so.
Don't want to play them. The Denver is a good defense, so they could be playable. And the thing with them is, the Carolina Panthers are down a couple of receivers. Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore went on the COVID IR this week. No word if they actually tested positive or if they, you know, if it was an exposure. So, that's something to keep an eye on, because that could funnel the targets toward Robbie Anderson. You know, he got 94 yards on four receptions and a touchdown in the last time out. So maybe he gets that. And if CMC is over his quad issue, he's gonna eat. I mean, Denver does have a good defense, but CMC is just
he's CMC.
A different level.
I mean, he's a Jordan type player. You know, like he'll moss his defender. So if CMC's healthy to play, you have to start him for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When it comes to COVID-19, just think negative, man. Just think.
Be negative. Oh man. Bueno, primos, I always have so much fun, and
that's a fun show.
I'm not, because it's familia, I don't begrudge people in the playoffs. Even if I'm on the outside looking in and kicking myself in the butt for, blowing four close games, but eso es todo for our show. Yeah.
I got a little something for you guys. You know, the top three names in the NFL last names. Can you tell me what's there? Or give me the top one.
I was thinking about this the other day. What was it? How about Samuel?
Smith.
No, actually, the top name is Johnson in the NFL. Smith is number two, and Williams is number three.
There you go.
Wow. What was the name that I was gonna Smith? I was gonna say Jones, because I saw Fred Jones is out one. There. Yeah. There you go.
Samuel's up there. Yeah, Curtis Samuel, Debo Samuel.
We don't have any Torres or Gutierrez, not too many of those in the NFL.
I looked up Gutierrez, and there was like two soccer players in the junior league, and that was about it.
we have hope for the kickers here and there. So
exactly. The Latinos in the NFL are generally kickers, but hey, we got to do something, right?
Speaking of kickers, I will give a shout out to Young Ho Koo. I picked him up, and he is my rock star. Uh-huh. 21 points, 18 points, 18 points. It's like, wow. He's like, you know, he's doing better than most quarterbacks. So,
good for him.
That's a good pickup.
Yeah, man.
Well, you're welcome, because I dropped him when he got hurt. So, the guy went on IR. What am I going to do?
Exactly. Did you put him on your IR spot?
No, we don't have IR. He wasn't on the COVID IR. So remember, boo. we only did
that's
IR
right.
for COVID.
That's right, COVID IR.
Keeping with the kicking terms, you had laces out right there. Laces out.
Oh man, well, we're laces out on this show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to the familia community. You guys, please subscribe and leave us a review at Apple. You can also find us on Spotify and Google, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, find us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. You could find me at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. Heck.
What the heck? Two T's.
There you go. Check out FamiliaFFB.com. You've got all our podcasts are archived on there. As Hector mentioned, this is show number 107 and counting, because we're going all the way to the end of the season, and we're going to go year round after this. And don't forget our Familia FFB Facebook page. So gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.
That's right.
Adios.
Salud.